With us now, and thank you as always, Georgina Campbell, who's the New Zealand Herald's Wellington Issues reporter. Morena, Georgina. Can you hear me?
Morena, Catherine.
There we are. From somewhere in the ether, the voice lands. Goodness me, a lot of kind of contemplation over exactly what happened last week in Parliament. The MP, Julianne Gentry, I think she's in the Chathams at the moment, which is part of her Rongotai electorate. But of course, there's some very local Wellington aspects to the story that's unfolded in the days since that confrontation in the Parliament, Georgina.
Yes, there have been. I've spoken to Wellington business owner Nicola Cranfield. She owns Cranfield's, which has been a store in Wellington that's been operating for the past 30 years or so. And she has alleged she's experienced her own upsetting experience with Green MP Julianne Genter. Now, Nicola Cranfield claimed she saw Genter in Wellington's Midland Park last year. She wanted to talk to the MP about her involvement in a controversial plan to remove cars from the Golden Mile. So Cranfield went up to her and she said that Genter sort of bristled and got really defensive, said, look, she was in opposition now, no longer the Associate Transport Minister, and Cranfield said she sort of washed her hands of any responsibility. Cranfield pushed again for an answer, for a conversation, saying that these planned transport changes had really negatively affected her retail business. Genter repeated herself and then grabbed Cranfield's upper arm and gave it a little shake. This is what Cranfield has alleged. So in Nicola Cranfield's view, she said it wasn't a friendly squeeze and believed it was aimed to make her feel that Genter was in a position of power. So this is the latest allegation from a Wellington business owner. We also heard from a florist last week in Newtown who claimed she had quite a heated discussion with Julianne Genter relating to a cycleway. I asked the Green Party about Nicola Cranfield's claims. They said that the party leaders had no prior knowledge of the allegations, which have recently come to light. They are, of course, taking disciplinary action after the incident in Parliament. They've said that that was clearly unacceptable and fell short of the high standards that the Green Party expects of its MPs. I tried to approach Julianne Genter directly for comment as well, but she did not respond.
All right. It's been such a sort of a local matter, what is proposed for the Golden Mile, and also, of course, in the other instance involving an alleged confrontation. It was in Newtown where there's a new cycleways going in. So it's probably shone a light on the number of businesses who are saying, look, this absolutely is having an impact, or in the case of Cranfield's, we can't operate with the uncertainty going forward. Yeah,
and Nicola Cranfield just a couple of weeks ago announced that she's actually decided to close her business. You know, it's been selling accessories, homewares and furniture since 1991, so she wouldn't have made that decision lightly. But I spoke to her then as well, and she said she's been on a monthly rental arrangement for some time now due to the uncertainty in the city, and that she just didn't feel confident enough to sign a lease because, you know, as an individual signing a lease, she's not a big corporate, you know, that's her house on the line. And so, yeah, she's pretty sad about it. But she said, you know, she's tired. She wants to be focusing on something positive, and she feels like she's sort of been in fight mode for 6 years over these transport changes, and she doesn't want to spend her days fighting her council. But I think you're right, and I did write a piece, actually, that was published online on the Herald this morning. Just, it does show how heated these conversations are, particularly around cycleways. Wellington City Council is really rolling them out at a fast pace. And there's still that bitter taste, I think, from the Island Bay cycleway saga. So there's a lot of change happening in the city. I think there is a mandate for it, but it doesn't necessarily make it easy, especially for some business owners.
Okay, now, speaking of which, another part of the city that's been under stress is Courtney Place, with so many earthquake-prone building closures. And the Reading Cinema deal, I mean, this took a long time, didn't it, to finally collapse. What does it mean, do you think, for the mayor and the mayoralty? I've seen some giving kudos to the mayor in the end for conceding, if you like. But she'd also sort of really banked a lot of on it, hadn't she, Georgina?
Yes, she had. And I wanted to talk to you about the Reading Cinema deal because we've discussed it on previous segments before. And I think it's a real loss for Mayor Tori Whanau. Like, she had spent a lot of political capital on this project. You know, she's previously said that not going ahead with the deal would further kill the city. That, you know, if we don't have this deal, Reading Cinema is just going to sit there and languish. She has lost a few things, actually, over her tenure. You know, she tied a lot of her transformational policy platforms to the likes of Let's Get Wellington Moving when she was campaigning for the mayoralty. Of course, the government has killed that now. She managed to hold on to this plan to remove private vehicles from the Golden Mile. But even that has been affected by the council's budget pressures. So the council is now proposing to do that in two stages, with construction on Courtney Place starting first and then defer the sort of Lambton Quay end of the work. So I think it was tough for the mayor. I think she does deserve some credit for trying to make something happen, trying to support something maybe a little bit different. And I think, regardless of whether you think the deal is good or not, it is a shame that that huge building in the heart of the city is now probably going to sit empty for several more years.
Except there was the Mark Donajcik offer, and does this open the potential for that to pick up again?
Yes, it seems a little bit murky just in terms of not being able to get a straight answer out of anybody as to where that offer ended up. Mm. Interestingly, we did hear for the first time over this whole saga from Reading International Chief Executive Alan Cotter. She issued a statement after the council cancelled the cinema deal. And it was good to hear her side of things. Whether Reading is open now to a chat with Mark Donajcik, I'm actually not sure where that's at. But, you know, that could be a plan B for them. But I guess just to tell you a bit about what Alan Cotter said, to finally sort of hear from that side of the story, you know, she sort of said that the deal was, you know, Reading considered to be not what they considered to be a full market price, but was part of a package which included a buyback right. That was that $32 million. She said, you know, they appreciated the council was making a significant capital commitment, but the council would own the land, receive revenues intended to meet its cost of capital, and be able to control and ensure certain key civic outcomes for Wellington. And Reading's capital commitment would have been more than double the council's investment, while also bearing, you know, all the construction and leasing risks.
Yeah, that's if it happened, though, right?
If it happened,
at a time when it's asking for rent relief from other, you know, other places around the world. All right. Look, I don't think the saga's over. Then we get this completely out of left field, and honestly, I had to stop and contemplate it for a moment, when we've just been through the Let's Get Wellington Moving saga to nowhere. We've now got the government proposing a mega tunnel, I think just about the longest underground tunnel to be, under the city to the airport. I mean, what was your reaction to this, Georgina?
Yeah, this is surprising, and I have to wonder whether it will be another thing that gets talked about but doesn't actually happen. The government has asked Waka Kotahi officials to investigate this mega tunnel. So we go from the terrace to Kilburnie. It would bypass the inner city. It would be about 4 kilometres long, making it much longer than Auckland's Waterview Tunnel. That's just 2.4 kilometres. So it'd be twin two-lane tunnels. And I think what surprises me about it is that, A, how can the government afford this? This is going to be billions of dollars. And B, the, you know, when National was in opposition. They heavily criticised Let's Get Wellington Moving for over-consulting, for not getting on with things. You know, they really drilled down on the campaign trail to this second Mount Victoria tunnel. They said there were going to be spades in the ground within its first term in government and that they were going to get on with it. And now we sort of seem to be going back to the drawing board in terms of things that we possibly might be able to do. And
When? I mean, this is the other thing. If you're going to take on a massive engineering project like this, how long? How complex? You know, remember how long it took to do the Aris Tunnel underpass? And you're almost, I mean, the sceptic almost says, is this just a way of booting the whole thing out for a few years and the costs that would accompany, Georgina?
Yeah, I mean, it was such a clear campaign promise, spades in the ground within this term. So if they're going to do the long tunnel, then I would expect spades in the ground this term. And it's sort of when you put it in that framing, you think, that's probably a bit unrealistic. I think the timing for this is that officials will get back to them sort of in a few months. It's being considered alongside the second Mount Victoria tunnel. I guess the National League government wants to just make sure that it is doing the right thing and that it's not overlooking a bigger project, which actually might make more sense. So
may take longer and have to land up on the books in a future budget, 4 or 5 year budget kind of projection. That's the scepticism. Forgive my scepticism over it, but you know, having talked about grand plans for light rail in Auckland and that's gone, and having talked about Let's Get Wellington Moving and grand plans for light rail, it sounds like another grand plan to me, Georgina.
It does, and you are right to be sceptical. I don't think Wellingtonians are going to like having a transport solution, you know, booted a few years down the track. We are well overdue for something to sort out the congestion in this city. And I think, that is not going to go down well. If they're going to do this, then they're going to have to move fast, which makes me think that they might just end up with the second Mount Victoria Tunnel after all of this.
All will be revealed. Thank you very much, Georgina Campbell, the New Zealand Herald's Wellington Issues reporter.